T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we're here every week, and we try to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important, educational, for all of us who live here in the Western New York community, and we try to keep you up on groups and organizations that are helping our citizens and people who are making a difference. And in the studio with us today is a lovely woman named Michelle Barron, and Michelle is the executive director of a group that I have been interested in for many, many years, which is doing a fabulous service for women here in Western New York. It is called Dress for Success, and I'm hoping that you've heard of it, but if you haven't, we are going to let you know today about what their mission is, what their focus is, all the good work that they do to help women in our community. So thank you so much, Michelle, for coming.
Thank
to
you
the
for
studio.
Having me.
We really appreciate it.
And thank you. I appreciate it.
I have been, this is a group that I have been familiar with for many years because, as everyone that knows me knows, I'm obsessed with clothes and fashions. And so I found out a while ago that how useful some of my clothes that I was either not using anymore or whatever could
yes,
be
absolutely.
To make a difference for women who were trying to get ahead in the workplace. And so I had been, you know, donating clothes for a long time. And now my friend and assistant, Gina Saragusa, is just as, if it's possible to be more obsessed with clothes and shoes than I am, she qualifies.
Yes.
And so she said to me the other day, this would be a wonderful group to talk to on the radio.
Oh, wow, nice.
And then she got the idea to call you and also if she has, I don't know if anybody would be able to wear or stand up even or take one step in the shoes that Gina wears, but she does have some to contribute. You know, this really high stiletto,
yes,
fabulous.
I see them all the time.
Looking.
Yes.
So, somebody once gave me a sign, I work to support my shopping habit. That was me.
Yes.
And so she has one, I work to support my shoe.
Shoe fetish. She's a fashionista. Yes.
I got that for her. She's a fashionista. So I wanted to start out, Michelle, by saying, what is the mission and the function of the group, in case people are not familiar with it? We want them to know everything.
Yes, absolutely. Dress for Success is an organization that provides women with professional attire to re-enter the workforce or enter the workforce for the very first time. So we service women, and our main goal is for all of our clients to become self-sufficient. So that is really the mission of Dress for Success. We provide programming. We help our clients with resume writing, mock interviews, helping them set up their social media profiles as far as LinkedIn. We had a great partnership in a workshop with Yahoo, and they came in and they assisted our clients. But how the program works is we are a referral-based organization. So basically, we partner with about 40 agencies throughout the city of Buffalo. They refer their clients. They do the pre-screening, and they refer their clients over to Dress for Success if they need assistance with an actual suit or professional attire to go out on a job interview. They come to us. We partner, we link up our clients with a personal stylist. So they work with a personal stylist one-on-one, and once they secure the job, then they come back to us and we provide them with what we call employment suiting. We give them a week's worth of clothes, and it's all free of charge.
That is the most, I think, amazing group and idea and focus, because somebody, I'm going to ask you how long ago in a minute, got the idea that people who are trying to either get into the workplace, women, either begin or come back or just start, whichever the situation, are at a disadvantage if they don't dress if they can't dress properly. Mm-hmm. Is it? I guess
that is.
How long ago did this organization start?
Well, Dress for Success has been in existence for 22 years. We are a global organization. Buffalo is one of 157 affiliates, and we are in 29 countries, and we've serviced over a million women. So this isn't Michelle Barron's brainchild. This is this is a international organization. So, and understanding the need, that there is a need when women go out on job interviews, the first thing, what we hear a lot is, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So they don't know what to wear to job interviews, but more importantly, they don't have anything to wear to the job interview. And we understand that presenting themselves in a very good light, meaning that, you know, it's all about their personal brand when they're out there, you know, interviewing for a job, we want them to look their very best. So this organization really provides them with all of the tools and resources that they need to become successful.
It must be one of those quandaries, like in the sense that if you can get a job if you don't have look right, let's say, for the organization, but you can't, if you don't have a job, you can't afford to look right, or you can't afford to have clothes that would be appropriate. So that's
Absolutely.
Probably the thinking.
That is the thinking, and that's where we fill in the gap. So, but, you know, it's shows like this that provides us with the opportunity to get the word out about the work that we do, that this service is available to women all throughout Western New York, and that we want to be able to provide them with whatever assistance that we can provide them with to succeed. And that's really our goal. We want them to succeed.
Now, one of the things that one of the reasons that this probably is a global organization and is needed, that you had a World Bank study that you sent me this copy of.
Yes.
And it said that in 2018, a World Bank study, equal pay, equal hours, and equal participation in the global workforce for women could lead to a global wealth jump of 23 million? US dollars per person? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? I'm just so shocked.
Yeah. Well, you know, what we did was, well, we didn't, I didn't do it worldwide, our headquarters, what they did was they, you know, provided us with information on this study. And our, you know, the thing about it is we understand that women that are out there working right now, that they're not getting equal pay. And so that becomes a challenge for our clients. We also understand that one of probably our biggest lift is assisting those clients that are on public assistance and helping them bridge that gap from welfare to work, and to make sure that they are in a position that they can really transition from welfare to full-time employment and not feel the it's not a backlash, but to feel what is the word I'm looking for, you know, when our clients, when they transition from welfare to work, it is a shock to them, because if they're not making, you know, a certain amount of money, and we're not talking about, you know, single women, we're talking about women that are, number one, they're heads of household. In most cases, I think the majority of our clients, they have three kids per household. So we're, you know, basically we want them to be in a position and that with the proper training that they are able to shift from welfare to work, but they are also at an advantage, in that they're not at a disadvantage where they feel like, well, why should we transition from welfare if, you know, if the welfare benefits
are higher than,
you know, what they're going to get paid. So I think that's the reason why that study is very important, because of the clients that we service.
Well, it's obvious that it takes more than clothes, or not just clothes alone. To make a first impression, yes, you might need clothes,
sure,
the right clothes, which is one of the aspects of Dress for Success that we were talking about. But it's interesting that you have focused the group on getting the job, not just getting the job, but being qualified for the job, how to be qualified, and how to get a job.
Right.
Which is really just as important
it's
as how
as
you
important.
Look, right?
And
so what are some, yeah.
And not to cut you off, but
no,
that's so important. But, and also, how do you land that promotion once you're on the job? How do you move up, you know, when you're on the job? So our goal really, again, is that we want our clients to be in a position that they can take care of their families. And that's really, you know, that's really our goal. We want them to be successful. So providing them with the suit is one thing, but one of our taglines is that we're more than a suit, so that we have to continue to provide them with the resources that they need in order for them to stay on the road to being self-sufficient.
Right, because getting a position or getting a job is just step one, in other words.
Absolutely.
There's more to it. I just want to tell you again, if you just tuned in, you are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And today in the studio with us is Michelle Barron, who is the Erie County, or the director of what I just found out is actually international organization known as Dress for Success. That was sort of a surprise to me, because I know that there's a need for your services here in America, obviously in the United States, but I didn't realize that the similar issues exist in other countries.
It's an international problem with our women. It's not just what happens here in the States. And we just, I just attended a conference in Vegas, our annual conference, and women becoming self-sufficient, it's universal. You know, making sure that they have the tools necessary to be successful and to be self-sufficient, that's not just common in the United States, but our affiliate in Rome, Italy, our affiliate in Jamaica, our affiliate in Poland, we all speak the same language when we're talking about empowering women to be in a position to take care of their families.
Now, what are some of the subjects or, you know, topics or lessons that you have to give, or that you do give, to help women to get, first of all, to get the job to start with, to get
sure.
a job either, as you said, either returning to the workforce or starting out? Those are two different aspects,
mm-hmm.
but they're both the same issues. I mean, in other words, you might have women who have never worked, who just at all, and then you have some who had to take off for childbearing or years, or and then want to return, and they
Absolutely.
Have probably similar issues, similar problems.
They do. And, you know, the workforce has changed over the years. So the days of the simplest things, applying for a job online, that's changed a lot, you know, because there was a time when you would drive to the employer and drop off your resume and your cover letter at the front desk with the receptionist.
And you would see a real person.
And you would see a real
My
person.
My goodness, yes.
Right, you would see a real person.
And I remember those days,
yeah.
But I hope a lot of our listeners don't, probably.
You would, I think that's something that that's really important, because now you apply for a job and it's online and you don't know who's reviewing your resume. You never really have a chance to even speak with that person. There was a time when you could call somebody and speak to them to find out the status of your resume. And now you just probably get, you know, once you apply online, you get a generic, you know, email saying, thank you for, you know, submitting your resume and we'll be in touch, you know, if we're interested. So, and then just teaching our clients soft skills and teaching our clients, you know, social media now, you know, there's a big difference from years ago when there was no social media. Now there's this digital footprint of social media, and it can really have an impact on whether or not you land the job. You know, so I always share with our clients, you know, be careful the things that you share and post on social media, because employers pay attention to your social media and they will find you. And that's what they're supposed to do. They do their research. And so all of that is really important. And what I mentioned earlier was we partnered with Yahoo, and they came in and assisted our clients with setting up their LinkedIn profiles. That's important. Setting up an email address that's professional, a professional email address. You know, things like that. And then just helping them again with the mock interviews and helping them with their resumes and, you know, reviewing and critiquing resumes. And then we're launching a partnership with one of the local banks where we're going to be providing financial literacy workshops to our clients as well. So all of that rolled into one are all of the programs and resources that we provide to our clients.
Well, even from step one, making the resume, you mentioned, that is probably, you know, the most important part of the whole process, because if you are not successful in getting getting past the just sending the resume, you're not going to get the interview and you're not going to get the job. So do you go over like what should be in a resume, what it should look like, what should not be?
So what we do as far as the resume, by the time the client comes to us, and we rely on our partner agencies to work with the clients one-on-one to make sure that they have the right resume for the jobs that they're applying for. Because when they come to us, when they're referred to us by the partner agency, they're already in the job search mode. So they know exactly what type of job our clients are looking for. So their resume should be a reflection of, you know, what type of job they're applying for. So whether it's an office job or, you know, a job in an insurance company, bank, you know, or tech job or whatever the case may be. And then there are some entry level jobs that they're applying for. So it could be retail, it could be janitorial, it could be any type of job. But we rely on the referral agencies to work with the clients one-on-one. And then once they come to us, they bring their resumes and we review their resumes and we critique their resumes. But then we also use it as an opportunity to basically to interview the client to make sure that they understand or to know about the company that they're applying to. You know, so have they done their homework? Do you know, you know, about XYZ company?
That's so important, because yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize that they have to know that they're going to be asked or questioned, or at least the employer or whoever's doing the interviewing wants to know that they care about and want this particular job because of their interest in this particular company. And I think a lot of people don't realize
that. It's so important. And we do that during the suiting process. So while we're suiting them, we're basically asking them questions about the company that, you know, that they're applying to, the interview that they're going to.
Yes. And I heard you say before, maybe you could just explain a little bit, that you actually can go so far as to have mock interviews with the potential employee, prospective employee.
Yes, absolutely. And we do that also during the suiting process. So we do it, you know, if we have to do it one-on-one, and sit them down and do it. But what we find is that our clients are most relaxed when we are pulling their, you know, helping them with their clothes, finding outfits. They're more relaxed and we're able to talk to them and walk them through the process. And then there's no one else in the boutique but the client and, you know, the personal stylist.
And do you go through the do's and don'ts, and especially the don'ts? Like, I only think of how they always say, don't chew gum, don't use your cell phone, don't text, I mean, during the interview process.
We go over everything. We go over everything with the clients because all of that's really important. It's a critical part of the process. So it's not just about the suiting, but it's everything that they need in order to prepare to land the job.
Now, there's another aspect that I was surprised to, that you don't just not, I don't want to say drop them, but once you've succeeded in dressing the person for and talking about the interview, you actually have follow-up process, assuming that they do get the job and or that they want to go further in their job, which is so important.
It's so important. So our clients, we are very fortunate that once we service a client, they never leave us. They never leave us. So basically, if they're coming, returning back for employment suiting, or if they're coming back to us for additional workshops or any type of technical assistance that they may need going forward to help them, you know, they may need a letter of recommendation. They may need us as a referral. So we're always there. We never leave our clients.
And as far as the suiting goes, we were saying that it's dresser success is not just how you dress, but there's probably do's and don'ts. The reason people are coming to you because maybe they would, if they didn't have your help, they would be showing up in flip flops or
jeans or something.
So what are the do's and don'ts? And they are women, so we can talk about or. Sneakers. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. We basically, I do a lot of presentations, a lot of PowerPoint presentations. So I go out to a lot of groups and I do PowerPoints on basically the power of your personal brand and what to wear to a job interview and what not to wear to a job interview. So we talk to them about, you know, the basic colors that they should have in their wardrobe. You know, that they should have a great pair of black slacks. They should have a pair of blue slacks, gray slacks. They should have a very nice white crisp button-down shirt. They should have a nice blazer. It doesn't necessarily have to be a suit, but it could be pieces that they can take and, you know, interchange. And so we encourage them.
And make look professional.
Yes, absolutely. So we really require them to, what we provide them with are the staple pieces, and then that way they can mix and match their outfits, but we give them the basics of what they need in order to move forward. So, but during the interview, for the actual interview, it really depends on the job that they're applying for.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yes.
Right. There are some that might be more formal than others,
and yes,
you know, it depending, I forget if it's I read this somewhere, if it's a creative job, let's say an advertising agency, I don't know if they have those here or something, they might be able to get away with something a little more eccentric or different than if they were going to work for attorneys or a bank.
Sure.
That kind
sure
of thing.
A little bit more business casual, but not so casual. But when we basically we determine if it, you know, if we were servicing a client that was going to law school for an internship program, we would provide that client with a suit, the automatic. We would, you know, put them in a suit. If it's someone that was applying to a tech company, well, we'll probably give them a blazer, a button down, and a pair of slacks to wear. They may not necessarily, they would look, you know, they wouldn't look awkward, but they probably would not fit that company culture if they walked in with a suit on or a dress to an interview. So it really, we assess what we provide our clients by the job, the type of company that they're applying for, and the position that they're applying for. And then that way, so they don't just walk in and we just give them anything. Like, we really figure out, okay, this is the perfect fit for this client.
And as far as the interview, going back to the interview process for a minute or so, there are obviously certain, not the clothes part, but the interview itself, things that people always, mistakes that people make, for example, and you must talk about that, whether you should ask for a certain amount of money or whether you should. I got the big one, right?
we just had this conversation about when is the right time to ask for more money if you're already in the job, on the job, and you're asking for more money. And then, you know, if you're applying for the job and if you're having that initial interview, do you talk about, if one of the things that you talk about at the very beginning, do you talk about vacation time?
Yes.
You know, do you do that? You know,
do you
not for the first interview. If they call you back, then you talk about it. But for the first interview, no. But so we go over, you know, different types of scenarios.
And when is at the first interview, second, or any interview for the initial job? What do you do about, like, if the employer says, what is your salary request, or what do you need, or I don't know how it's phrased.
Yes.
What is the answer? What are you supposed to do?
You know, there is no, I don't know if there's a cookie cutter answer for that question, because I think that when you're in that interview, depending on those positive vibes, you know if you're like the candidate for that job. And you know that if that interview is really short, then more than likely you're not the person for that. So it doesn't even make sense
to
talk about salaries or whatever.
Get to that point.
But you can, I mean, I don't think that and some of the things that have been shared with us, it's not a bad thing to talk about salaries, because you want to know, you know, you want to know, okay.
Absolutely.
You know, how much does the job pay? Now, if they give you, you know, a base salary or whatever, if they say, oh, the job pays $45,000, you know, then the question becomes, if you think that, you know, you should be making more than that, do you talk about salary negotiation very interview?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not.
And the same with, like you said, about vacation or health care. There's just probably a right time and a wrong time. And that's
absolutely
what you have to learn. And that's what you guys are good at teaching
at
explaining or helping
we
with.
Do.
Yeah,
we do.
Well, thank you so much. Now, where can people, this was just so interesting.
Oh,
I'm
great.
Sure our listeners enjoyed it, too. Kevin liked it, too, right? If there's interesting.
Oh, thank you.
So tell Kevin Carr, I couldn't do this without Kevin. So
thank you, Kevin,
for helping. Can you tell us how people, you said it's all referrals.
Yes.
But let me just get like a general website or internet or,
sure,
you know, email where people can get more information from you.
So our boutique is located at 1639 Hurdle Avenue. We are across from the Lexington Co-op, or if you're familiar with the sample shop, we are in the old sample shop.
The old, right.
Yes,
yeah,
the old sample shop. Our website is buffalo.dressforsuccess.org if you want to learn more about our agency. We are also on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and we are also on Instagram and Twitter. So you can follow us, and we'll keep you up to date on everything that we're working on.
And if you are listening and you are successful because of Dress for Success, or they helped you learning about this on Target, we want to hear from you. I want you to call or tell me, or call the old-fashioned telephone or email
telephone,
and tell us,
right,
that you learned from Michelle, and everything you learned from Michelle made you a success, right?
Oh, that would
thank
be amazing.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for listening. Have a good week, everybody. Goodbye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.